Welcome to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy this morning with the one and only James Magnusson in the studio. And we started the show talking about his beloved Bulldogs who are on the hunt for a new coach. And Brent Naden has left the Bulldogs and is going to play against them this Friday for the West Tigers. Yes, welcome to the show. Wednesday morning, very special Wednesday morning. Yes, it is the breakfast show with Vossie and Brandy, but Brandy not here today. And we have our resident psychologist joining us in all things Bulldogs, who I'll introduce again in a moment to you. We're broadcasting through 1170 SEN here in Sydney, SEN Track on the Central Coast, the Illawarra, through 90.3 FM in Griffith, and to those listening anywhere in the world on the SEN app. Those around the country, love to hear from you this morning. If you're out walking and got the headphones on, if you're on the tools already, if you're on your way to work, can you call us on the McDonald Jones open line just to say hi? Just friendly start. 1300 01 11 70. You can text 0457 736 736. What's the most exotic place one of our listeners is tuned in this morning? And by exotic, I mean, are you already digging a hole, or, you know, whatever you've got, let us know. Just reach out. We're here thanks to our major sponsors, Brighton's Lawyers, the lawyers protecting your future. You can call Brighton's Lawyers on 1800 848 848, or visit brightons.com.au. We're also here for card.gift. We've been telling you about them, Australia's one-stop gift card shop. Maybe you need end-of-financial-year gift cards. Card.gift, worth checking out. And speaking of card.gift, we've got a $50 FPOS gift card to give away every day on the show, thanks to our mates at card.gift. So stay tuned for that. We'll do it at random, either to a texter or a talkback caller. And don't forget, you'll never miss any of the show if you subscribe to the Breakfast Show podcasts. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. Big reaction to our interview with Brad Fittler yesterday, and obviously Brad talking about the big walk with Royce Simmons, but his answer, the sidestep he produced, the Brad Fittler special, the sidestep when we asked him about the Canterbury coaching position. I note, with thanks, Channel 7 News ran some of our SEN interview on their news last night. Fox League and NRL 360 ran some of that as well from our interview with Freddie. So thank you for that. We can also put out lots of stuff through the morning on our Twitter account, at Vossie Brandy SEN. So if you want to reach out that way, you can. But without further ado, as I say, he was on our program last Wednesday morning. You know him as the Missile, but what you didn't know is that he's also part-time psychologist. And today, wearing a Bulldogs jersey, he comes in with a little pipe. And he's got some glasses on, looking very... And a stethoscope around his. I know what the stethoscope's for, but we can call him Doctor. It's like The Hangover. You know, you're not a doctor. No, I'm a doctor. Dr. James Magnusson, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Vossie. Yes, I'm here. I'm feeling empathetic. I'm feeling sympathetic. I know what our listeners are going through, and I'm here to help them this morning.
Oh, what a terrific opening gambit that. We do have the sad music, Lieutenant Dane, do we not? Because this is the music that will accompany James's anytime he talks about the Bulldogs. So, James, how are you feeling? Trent Barrett gone, Bulldogs bottom of the table. How are you feeling?
Oh, look, anytime someone loses their job, it leaves an icky feeling. I feel sorry for Trent. But all in all, I think it was inevitable. The Drums were beating last week, and the performance against the Knights left us with nowhere to go, in my opinion. And now they're talking about player exodus, coaching staff exodus. So it looks like the whole joint's going to get cleaned out.
Thank you. sad, anytime you open your mouth and speak Bulldogs, the sad music will accompany you. Now, look, here's what's happened. Like, in the last 24 hours, things happen fast. Brent Naden leaves the club immediately to join the West Tigers and will line up against his old club this Friday. We'll discuss that in a moment in a little more depth, James. High-performance manager Dan Ferris is also a major victim in the football department clean-out, so he's gone. Consultant Steve Hansen, the former All Blacks coach, also likely to depart after criticising how the board handled Barrett's exit. So Steve Hansen, ta-da. Jack Hetherington, we're being told, is also likely to be another casualty of Barrett's departure. He's apparently been told he can go. He's currently on the injured list. Now, Andrew Webster wrote a piece in the Herald today, and you can see it online, about Paul Vaughan. Now, And I'll get your opinion, James. I had to say yesterday, Paul Vaughan, having a little dig at the media as he drove out the other day, Andrew Webster wrote that Paul Vaughan is the type of player the Dogs don't need. And there's a great last line about, you know, the media was waiting there to do their job. Phil Gould came out to do his job and front the media. The media asked the questions and recorded that interview because they were doing their job. And Andrew writes at the end, Paul Vaughan, just do your damn job. Yeah, and that's pretty much it in a nutshell. A player having a crack. Do you think the players are accountable, James, at the Bulldogs? Do you think there's enough accountability for what you're seeing?
I don't. And it's all those effort things. They don't look fit. They don't look hungry for success. And from Paul Vaughan, it's quite amateurish. Like, that's something you'd expect from a young player who hasn't been around the traps and doesn't understand the relationship with the media. It's something that, you know, I went back and forward during my very early career trying to kind of get that mix between being respectful with the media and you know, having a working relationship. And it's something that you learn. The less tension there is between yourself and journalists, the more you just open up and be friendly with them, the better everyone will be for it. And from Paul Vaughan, he's had some run-ins with the media over the past 2 years, but surely that teaches you that it's better to have a working relationship than to be abrasive with those people that are going to be writing about you.
Yeah, well said. Look, I said yesterday, it was still one of the great tweets when Paul opens the winds down the car window to say to the journalist, do you have to be here? And someone tweeted, that would have been a good question when people knocked on his door at the barbecue last year. Do you have to be here? So I thought that was a great little shot back. On Brent Nader. Now, I tweeted last night that, and I stand by this, and I'm not trying to be a smartass either. I asked the question, what was the question at the Tigers where the answer was Brent Nader? That's what I tweeted, because it's not a case where the Bulldogs are paying any of Brent Nader's money. He asked for a release. Bulldogs are not stumping up any cash. Yeah. So you're not getting him bargain buy. You're not getting him just for the end of this year. You are now getting him for next year as well. So you've committed a top 30 roster spot for next year on Brent Nader, who in 8 matches for the Bulldogs wasn't that flash. Like, you know, 10 line or tackle busts.
Yeah,
or whatever it was in
maybe
in
the question
matches.
They
you know
were
asking.
Mean? Like, yeah, they may have been asking the question, is our completion rate too high? Maybe right. They want to add a bit of adversity to their football side.
Well, that's a spray.
Yes. He's had a rough start to his Bulldogs career, so I don't think it's a huge loss for the Bulldogs team. But they're just the masters of recruitment, the West Tigers. They always make these great signings that you kind of raise an eyebrow to, and then they inevitably unravel the way you kind of expect. So it's a strange one for mine.
Yeah, well, when the team running last make no effort to talk him out of leaving, doesn't that make you ask a question? See, and this is nothing personal. Forget the baggage that's in Brent Nader's career. We're over that. We've moved on.
Yeah.
But I would rather, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I would rather give opportunity to someone seeking opportunity in the NRL rather than give it to someone who's had an opportunity this year in the NRL and hasn't fired. So I'm talking about players like a Robert Jennings or a Isaac Lumi down at Melbourne, Semi Sawaluma up in the Queensland Cup. I know he's 30 now, but he's, you know, grand final up there last year. He's been one of their best players again this year for the Burley Bears. I mean, there's a whole Jordan Pereira is, you know, in the wings at the Broncos. Players like Tom Jenkins, young Tom Jenkins at Penrith, did someone inquire about him? He looks really good, but he's not going to get any opportunity anytime soon.
Yeah,
I'm just saying I'm looking at those sort of players looking for opportunity right now rather than a bloke who had an opportunity at the Bulldogs.
It seems like with the Tigers, as soon as something pops up, they jump at it rather than looking deeper and harder. We saw Ronald Volkman from the Roosters, super promising young player. The West Tigers and the Bulldogs have been struggling in the halves rather than look at reserve grade or New South Wales Cup. They seem to just jump at whatever pops up from an NRL side. So, yeah, puzzling one for mine. I don't think he solves any issues at the Tigers in their outside backs for mine.
Well, they're desperate. They've got a huge injury toll. And the Tigers fans on the social media, you know, upset, you don't acknowledge blah, blah. No, I am acknowledging that. I am. But now you have committed a top 30 roster spot for next year, where you would hope you don't have an injury crisis. You've Brent Naden, he was the player you wanted, was he? Was he what you wanted? Well, you've got him. Now, if I'm wrong, I hope Brent Naden kills it at the Tigers. Fantastic. But Tigers fans want to hear from you. Bulldogs fans, you can assess him if you like. 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Last night on NRL 360, James Graham questioned why all the coaching chatter was around those without a current gig. He believes the Bulldogs should chase a contracted coach, such as Ricky Stewart or Todd Payton, to help the club rebuild. That's an interesting one. Yeah, well, you know, in some ways, everyone's available, aren't they, if you inquire? By the way, how did Brent Naden end up at the Tigers? Like, if he's under contract, how do they get a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, well, from what I read in the paper just earlier, he went to Gus yesterday and said, "I want to play centre." Gus said, "There's not an opportunity at centre for you." And his manager goes straight to the West Tigers off the back of that conversation. And the two clubs come to an agreement by 3:55, by 4 p.m.
Yeah,
he's named
amazing
within the Tigers lineup.
Yeah, he's named to the side.
And they're saying you'll probably play this weekend. One bright point out of that for the Bulldogs is that'll allow young Jacob Kyrros, who we saw playing the centres, straight into the top 30, and he'll probably come into the Bulldogs. Well, I hope he'll come into the Bulldogs' first grade side this weekend. So
you're speaking positive all of a sudden, James. You're springing your step there. That's good.
The morning caffeine's just hit me.
Professor Magnuson, doctor.
So there's a silver lining there.
All right then, Bulldogs fans, have your say, and James is here to field your calls so you can hop on the couch, or, well, not with James, beside James, and just talk. Just talk. Just let it out this morning. Victor Radley has been ruled out for 6 to 8 weeks after being told he must undergo surgery on an injured ankle. It means he'll miss out again on a chance of a State of Origin call-up. Obviously, Cameron Murray on the injured list, but, you know, your middle forward, Zay, would have to be the number 13, but Victor Radley, still disappointing for him and disappointing for the Roosters. Good news for Tigers fans of a kind. For anyone who drives past the derelict Balmain Leagues Club, the site at Rozelle will no longer be used by the state government during the construction of the Western Harbour Tunnel. It comes as a couple of weeks after the fire tore through the old site. The decision paves the way for the building to be bulldozed and construction of a new Leagues Club apartments and retail precinct to begin immediately. So, wow, that has taken some time. I must say, James, I found this one interesting, if not intriguing. We've been following the Greg Norman story and the Saudis and the money and the Gulf.
Yep.
It's been revealed that Jack Nicklaus, the great Jack Nicklaus, the golden bear, as opposed to the great white shaft, he turned down an offer worth $144 million to act as one of the faces of the new Saudi Arabian back golf international series. The 82-year-old said he felt he needed to stay loyal to the PGA Tour. It's understood that's when the organisers then turned to Greg Norman.
Yeah.
Isn't that quite a revelation? $144 million.
How much is
Jack
he?
Said
how much
no.
he got to be worth to turn down $144 million? Like, surely he's worth at least $300 million. That's just wild
so
money.
I'm thinking, on principle, Jack was going for no price.
Yeah, you reckon?
A man of principles.
Yeah,
Was not going to align with the Saudi Arabian.
He's 82 years old, so can you even spend $144 million in those twilight years of your life?
Take on it. I reckon I could.
His kids might have had a different opinion on whether he should have taken that $144 or not.
I reckon I could, James.
You could spend that full $144.
Yeah, I reckon I can.
And we're not just talking putting it on black on the roulette table.
All red. There's two options there. So that's it. React to that, folks. Do you have a price? See, Jack Nicklaus has proven there that there's no price. It's, you tell me.
Well, did they pay Greg Norman the same price?
Oh, 100%. I reckon they did.
Yeah.
I reckon he's getting...
Jeez, that's good squillions. Money. And what do you have to do for that? Just be the face of it.
Yeah, just keep talking.
Oh, man.
Keep talking, keep getting hammered by all of us. And that's what's been happening to the Great White Shaft lately. Cricket, Matthew Mott, the head coach of the Australian women's cricket team, is the front runner to lead the England men's limited overs sides. His appointment could be confirmed as early as tonight. Seriously, do they have anyone in England born in England can coach England? Is there just no one?
Oh, yeah.
They look everywhere but England. Is that right?
Ex-players, coaches from county cricket. I don't know. It seems a strange one, but it's just Australia taking over one nation at a time.
Well, it's not strange in the qualifications of Mod, because obviously he's done very well with the women's team. But I'm just saying England have looked everywhere outside of their own country for people. You know, Brendan McCullum is now the head coach of the Test side.
Well, put it this way, I couldn't imagine an Englishman coaching the Australian cricket team. We've seen it in rugby, but I think cricket would be sacred for us Australians.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. We did have Mickey Arthur, South African, of course. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go even closer to your heart, James. State of Origin. Can you imagine a Queenslander coaching New South Wales?
No, never.
So Wayne Bennett's available. No, he wouldn't coach.
We don't want him.
No, that couldn't happen. And just on the Aussie one-day international record in the women's, 40 of their past 42 games, they have won. So it's a fair credential. Football last night, you'll be running the EPL football desk this morning, but Melbourne Victory last night winning their first league semi against Western United 1-0. So we'll fire up the EPL football desk in a moment with you, James. But here's a topic for you this morning, James, and I do want you to go back all over your sporting career. Have you ever suffered a freakish injury, an unusual injury in your career, something away from the training pool or competition?
I've been thinking. I've got one for you. We'll talk about it a little later. Yep, I've got one.
Okay, well, this is the reason why we throw this out there this morning, because at the Giro d'Italia, the cycling, wonderful story. Binnenem Girmay actually won a stage. Now, he's from Eritrea? I've never even heard of the country in Africa. So he's an African in the cycling.
Right, yep.
And he's won. It's up near Djibouti. I had to Google it. The Yemen, Djibouti. So there you go. But then in the celebrations on the podium, he opened the bottle of champagne and the cork got him in the eye and he was rushed to hospital. Yeah. So it's a champagne bottle accident which has taken him out. The cork into his eye, it bloody hurt.
Mustn't have opened too many champagne bottles in his time, by the sounds.
So he's got underneath that, he's got bags straight into his face. Like, he could lose the eye completely. That's a serious story.
Yeah,
he could lose the eye completely.
Yeah.
That's a pretty freakish injury.
Yeah.
So let us compile a list of freakish injuries. Rugby league, Tommy Turbo. Corsa.
Yeah. And we had drying himself with a towel the other weekend.
Kurt Capewell. Yes.
Yep, did the injury.
Ricked his neck out. Doing the old one beyond the back with a towel. Boom, boom, blah.
Super vigorous, obviously.
So, folks, come up with a list of freakish injuries that you can remember that you know that sports people have suffered over the years in unusual circumstances. A la champagne cork in the eye here for this cyclist. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy this morning with James Magnuson as co-host, and David Riccio joined us from the Daily Telegraph for all the latest NRL headlines.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
David Riccio from the Telegraph. I'm just checking. Today is Wednesday. The Bulldogs play Friday night. They were horrible last Friday. So they haven't trained between then and now. Is that correct?
That's correct to a point, Vossie. Good morning, James and Andrew. The key there is they came in on Monday just for some light work. And then they were told to go home on the basis of Trent Barrett being sacked. And then had yesterday off. They come in today for their major session of the week, Vossie. It's extraordinary, to be honest, but this is their first serious session as a team this week, just 48 hours before they take on the Tigers. There have been suggestions, obviously, on the back of Matt Duffy's performance that Josh Addo-Carr could be shuffled to fullback. Look, I know that discussion has been had. Now, whether they actually pull the trigger on it remains to be seen. But at the same time, guys, they've only got today to get it right. They don't actually know how Josh Addo-Carr combines with the rest of the team at fullback, because he's hardly trained there, if at all. And today's the day to road test that potential major switch. It's extraordinary.
That's madness.
They'll come back in tomorrow, guys, for a light captain's run. The day before games for NRL clubs is becoming lighter and lighter as far as just turning the legs over. So there's nothing, no serious training done on captain's run day. But today's the day for the Dogs, and largely under a new coaching structure and a lineup that could be changed.
Yeah, and they've had the 7-day turnaround. It's not like you're coming dead last on the ladder. You played disgracefully last Friday night, and they essentially will have had one session in a game where they've got 7-day turnaround. I can understand if you're going, Sunday to Friday, but this is Friday to Friday. Bulldogs fans, how would you feel? And so, David, can you confirm? So the team they've named that played last Friday night, Jake Avarillo is in the centres. He didn't play on Friday night. He was the replacement player. And Jackson Taupany comes into the side with Corey Riddell ruled out. He had the HIA. Are you saying they just put that down on paper, that won't be the side they run out with on Friday night?
Yeah, I don't think so at all, Wossie. I think absolutely. I think it's a case of... So yesterday, Phil Gould met with the coaching staff, Craig Sandercock, assistant coach to Trent Barrett, and also David Ferner, assistant coach to Trent Barrett, and also Mick Potter, we expect to be named as their caretaker coach for the rest of the season. Potter's been looking after the Mountie side. The irony continues, the fact that Potter was sacked by the Tigers. They play the Tigers. They come up against Brent Naden. Just extraordinary how that unfolded yesterday. Interestingly, guys, just on that Naden affair, I can tell you that what the whole move did in getting Naden over to the Tigers, it's freed up around $300,000 in the Bulldogs salary cap.
That's a tight salary.
Yeah, that's a tight salary cap at the Dogs, and they'll use that $300,000. Well, they'll need to use it widely. I don't think it'll be a case of actually buying anyone. I think it'll be a case of trying to keep a player or just trying to retain players and pay players. So tight is the cap. So, look, it's been a huge 24, 48 hours for the Dogs. But today, they need to start the process of trying to actually beat the Tigers on Friday night.
This game doesn't exactly have that feel of bounce back about it, does it?
Ambush.
In another story, we've got Victor Radley gone for Origin.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about
that? James, it's starting to get a little bit nervous, Nelly. Times for Brad Fittler and SEN co-host Greg Alexander, the Blues advisor. They have now lost Cameron Murray and they've now lost Victor Radley. Both players were going to be chosen in this Origin 1 team. Radley was a certainty and so too was Cameron Murray. Look, talking to people close to the process of selection, guys, we only have 2 weekends of footy left and the team's chosen. This weekend, next weekend, Origin team's chosen. So the name that's coming back on the base on the back of Radley's injury is Jake Trbojevic. Solid, experienced, been there, done that before. However, I would say he hasn't been setting the house on fire at Manly, been doing his job. But that's the name that would be the first go-to on the back of Radley's injury. So, again, you start to... Fingers crossed it doesn't happen, but an injury to Jake Trbojevic and suddenly Freddie's looking around to solve some problems.
All right, and also the Cronulla Sharks, when we're talking about Team List Tuesday, the selection of the fullback is both intriguing, exciting. He's got some good stats in New South Wales Cup. Tell us about Lachlan Miller.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, guys. We rarely see it, do we? A cross-code switch. And this is what we're seeing with Lachlan Miller. Less than 12 months ago, he was in Tokyo, guys, with the Australian Sevens team, playing at the Olympics. And here he is making his NRL debut on Sunday against the Gold Coast Titans. Guys, he's lit it up in the New South Wales Cup. He's been absolutely sensational at fullback. He did shift to 5'8", guys, over the past 2 weeks. So he does have some versatility in him. He came across Craig Fitzgibbon's desk via some video highlights reel that was sent to Fitzgibbon back in September. And Fitzy said, well, we need some versatility. And given the way the game's changed, guys, with the speed of the game, Fitzy thought it was worth rolling the dice on. They knew it would be a work in progress. But to be fair, Miller's taken to the game a lot quicker than what they expected. Granted, it has been in the New South Wales Cup and it's sight unseen in the NRL, but there's plenty of excitement around Miller. And it just allows Fitzgibbon to get Nicho Hynes back into the halves. They were terrible and terribly clunky last week in the halves and at fullback with Hynes at fullback. I think that that's a smart move, getting Hynes back into the halves.
One of our listeners said in relation to the Bulldogs training week that they've gone old school. Maybe they'll have a captain coach this week and maybe a sausage sizzle on Saturday morning to raise some funds. Well, so that really is old school.
Paul Vaughan might put his hand up on both counts there, the sausage sizzle and the captain coach.
Yes, yeah. Ready-made chef.
Well, what about the old, train tonight and just go to the pub? Like that used to be Tuesday, Thursday. Like at some clubs it was compulsory. You know, back in the day, you like Western Suburbs, back in the hard days, you turn up Tuesday night, you train, a few laps of the ovals, game of touch, a few star jumps, to the pub, and then Thursday night, do the same.
Yep.
Maybe.
Hey, guys, just on Naden, I know there's a lot of focus on Naden. He was named in the reserves. He'll play. He's playing. That was basis of the contract. Yeah, he'll play at centre. You'll see, I think it's jumper 21. But the basis of the contract was, mate, you'll play this weekend. So, he'll
what
play.
A week.
Oh, well, look, I sincerely hope he kills it at them. Like, I hope he does find his best form, but I can't imagine any Bulldogs fan, James included, is giving any ring endorsement to say, gee, well, he's a loss for us, because they had the same hopes as Tigers fans that he'll find form. And eight matches of pretty underwhelming contribution. And really... Mm. He could just come in and take a whole bunch of dummy half runs and that and stand up and play a role, but he didn't. You know, he's just one of many disappointments at the Bulldogs. So Brent Naden's gone.
Yep.
Good luck, Tigers. David Riccio, we will follow. There will be no doubt breaking news throughout the day and the Telegraph website, and you and your team will be all over it.
Absolutely, Vossi. Thanks, boys. Go well.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy this morning with James Magnusson in the co-host chair. We caught up with Bulldogs legend Terry Lamb, who is part of the walk to help raise money for dementia, along with the great Roy Simmons and a host of other stars. We asked him about his thoughts on the current Bulldog situation. One of the most popular players ever to lace on a boot. And he's in, I hope I'm saying it right, Carcor this morning, which is between Cowra and Bathurst. Come in, Terry Lamb. Welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, Terry. Very well.
Are you ready to do a bit of walking today, Terry?
Well, mate, we've just walked for an hour. Now we're stopping off at Carcor at the sales yard for sheep. That's what we're doing here. So we're going to raise some more money for dementia for Royce. And I'm looking at him right now. He's on the radio right now. And I'm looking at him about 50 metres away.
So Terry Lamb is at the Lamb Auctions in Carcor this morning. There's a story.
That's right. It's correct. Yes.
Are you up for auction, Terry?
I could have a brother or a sister here, mate. If I'm right, I think Kurt Fernley's just joined us as well.
Oh, beautiful. What's the weather like out near Bathurst this morning? Must be fresh.
It's cool enough, but we're still walking, so we're okay with it at this stage. So, mate, we got some hints yesterday from Freddie and Andrew Farrer is that don't stop walking because it interrupts all your organs and all your muscles and everything in your body. So I'm talking to you while I'm walking right now.
Wow. Well, to be admired, everything that Royce is doing and the support he's getting from, all his mates, and you really are. I mean, the respect you have amongst...
Yep.
The players is fantastic. Terry, I asked Brad Fittler to embarrass Royce yesterday. A word on Royce. The Royce Simmons you know, Terry, and you got to play with him at representative level. What have you got to say about Royce?
Embarrass him? It's not hard to embarrass Royce. Royce has just got to walk into a room and embarrass himself. I don't need to say too much about Royce. But one of the most loyalist people I've ever met. One of the toughest footballers I've ever met, and would do anything for anybody. And I've never heard in one person say a bad thing about him, and that's very rare in sport.
It's good to hear, Terry. Words. Tell us, with Vossi and Brandy asked a question yesterday of Freddie, and we've got to ask you as well today. Are you throwing your hat in the ring for the Bulldogs coaching job? Because all us Bulldogs fans would love to see you in there.
Mate, I have my chance at the West Tigers. I don't think I will be, but I know Mick Potter's interim coach at the moment.
Yeah.
So he'll be doing that, and I'm sure Gus will be looking around to find out what we can do in the future. But the hands are in the gods at the moment,
Yeah.
So we can't do too much about what's happened at the moment. So we'll just see what happens.
In your opinion, Terry, as a great rugby league man, rugby league's been your life. What, and you look at the Bulldogs' plight, which would hurt you as a former star for the club, to see where they are at the moment. Can you narrow it down to what they need to be successful?
Oh, geez, I can't tell you the truth because, we've bought players from last year. We bought, I think, 8-9 new players. That didn't work at this stage. So maybe players got to have, I'm going to say the players have got to have a good look at themselves and see what they can do on the field. That's a thing in rugby league or any sport now that coaches are indispensable, and we all know that. So the first people to get the blame for it.
Yeah. Can you tell us, Terry, so one of the issues that fans and supporters keep coming up with is the fitness. What was your fitness regime like when you played, and what differences are there that you see today?
Good question.
Yeah, well, they go to the pub on Thursday night. They don't drink before a game these days. So mine was completely different. But if I knew that I wasn't fit enough, I'd go for a run on a Friday afternoon. We probably have a Friday off, but I'd go for a run on a Friday afternoon for about 10Ks just to get my fitness up. That's the easiest way I could do it, and I can say it. But it's a different game now. They train so much different to what we did in the old days.
Hey Terry, look, there's a line trotted out, and I don't get it, but maybe you can explain it if you do support it. When they talk about coaching at Canterbury, that to coach at the Bulldogs, you do have to have been at the club previously to understand how to get the best out of the club, what the club's about, the DNA of the club. Is that true? Is that a theory that actually rings true at Canterbury, do you think?
Well, most of their coaches... Steve Folks, for example, Phil Gould, everybody played for the club, Chris Anderson, all won grand finals. It's hard to say that one. I'd like to think it'd be good, but not everybody plays for the Bulldogs, and not all the good coaches who go through play for the Bulldogs. So there is a DNA there, but we've just got to find it, and we've got to find out who suits that DNA. That's what we're trying to find out.
Yeah, well, it's a long way back. I mean, James is around
the song. It is, mate, absolutely, 100%.
Mm. One of our co-workers here at SEN, Terry, Joel Kane, speaks very fondly of your coaching days at the West Tigers. He spoke about a story where you made them run around Magnetic Island through waters riddled with stingers. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, that's okay. Look, stingers, mate. They're footballers, aren't they? We all think we're invincible as footballers, so they did a job, and most of them went through it.
Terry, you're keeping well, mate. Just for all our listeners, because you're a much loved player. When people heard that we're having Terry Lamb on, yeah, it's nothing but love for you, and you must feel that. You must be very proud of that. That it's not just Canterbury fans or West Magpies fans. You had the respect of all fans and admiration. You're keeping well.
Yeah, always, mate. Always. I try to be a humble person, and it's pretty easy to be humble. I've got a big family, 5 brothers and five sisters and a brother, and my kids we've got grandchildren now. So I've got to be humble these days and look after the grandkids.
And all of this started. Are we right in saying Chester Hill? The ground was that the Chester first Hill, footy ground correct. You ever played at Chester Hill?
Abbott Park. Oh yeah, it was called Bamford Oval in the old days, and now it's called Abbott Park. It's called the Terry Lamb Complex now. To tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I hope people who kids who go down there, the kick around a footy, know the person that the ground is named after, and just know how good a player he was. Terry, it's great to have you on the program. Just one last one. If Canterbury's down the bottom of the order, we've just had Melbourne play Penrith. If the competition was decided right now, who wins the comp?
Oh, geez, the way Parramatta played last week, that was pretty good. I'm going to go for Penrith. I've got to go for Penrith. They're last year's premiers, and they've got a very good team, and there's not too many people have left there. So I'll go for the Panthers.
All righty. And people can find you if they want to walk along, bip the horn at you and Roycey today. A couple of good-looking roosters walking along between Cowra and Bathurst today.
We're about the size of a rooster too. Don't worry about that.
Oh. Well, cock-a-doodle-do. Terry Lamb, a great pleasure, a privilege having you on the program, mate. Keep well, and thank you for helping Royce's big walk.
Thanks, Royce. Thanks, mate. Okay, take care, eh?
Cheers, Terry.
There we go. So you're Magno to Terry, are you, James?
I don't know. I'm getting
what's the most common? We've had about 15 names for you.
Yeah, I know. Week. I used to get, like, I think because it's a hard name to say that people have to come up with nicknames rather than attempt the full-blown Magnuson.
Of your all-time favourite Bulldogs, Terry's in your top five, is he, James?
Look, he's slightly before my time, but for our family, our whole family are Bulldogs fans. Terry Lamb is God. He's number one. We've just got a text through. I'm not sure who this is. I don't recognise the number, but it says Maggie should fess up about his favourite T-shirt. So I've got the big Terry Lamb T-shirt. Denon Kemp, bloke in a bar, released an apparel range, and there was cult figures. I think there was Terry Lamb, Monty Beetham, and Martin Lang. Yes. And I've got the Terry Lamb T-shirt. It's my favourite T-shirt.
Oh, that's nice. That's lovely. That's good radio, that. Vossi and Dr. Missile, I'd like to see the Raiders take Jack Hetherington back home where his DNA is strong. He'd be a good replacement for Ryan Sutton. Strange injuries. This is from Raider Man in Newcastle. Justin Carney's ankle syndesmosis out rabbit hunting. Anything where you're doing any activity. Was it Gavin Cooper? No, it was Scott Bolton at the Cowboys. Yeah, he got the fishing, almost took the top of his finger off fishing, you know, on the day off. He's another one who's had a fishing injury.
Yeah, there you go.
It does happen.
Yeah,
when you have
dangerous
to ring
sport.
The coach to say that you've suffered an injury, wow.
There's a bit of explaining something to do there. Yeah.
I haven't asked you this morning. We will take a break in a moment. Jared Waitley coming up. Are you tipping the Bulldogs this Friday night? Now that we've had all the fun and we're talking about all these things, are you going, and a Tigers injury toll, which Michelle, by the way, mentioned at 6:30.
Yeah.
She said no one mentions it.
Yeah.
Are you going to tip the Bulldogs Friday night?
I don't think you can. I think when tipping, you've got to go with your head, not your heart. It doesn't have that feel of a bounce back, does it? Just based off the fact that they haven't been training all week. They're talking about running Josh Adokar at fullback when he hasn't trained there at all. It just... sometimes you get that feeling when a coach gets sacked and they bring in the caretaker that there's a bounce back factor. I'm just not seeing that this week for the Bulldogs. What about you, Vossie?
I don't want to reel my tip just yet. I seriously don't know. I mean, I'm talking tea leaves, I'm talking dartboard, I'm talking names in a hat, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, how could you tip either with any great confidence?
Yeah.
You're listening to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy this morning with James Magnuson, the Missile. Jared Waitley joined us to discuss all the big issues from the week of sport. First of all, COVID,
literally.
Jared. Have you had COVID? Jared,
Vossie,
you've traveled
James,
over to the Super Bowl and all sorts of things over the last couple of years.
I got it between the Super Bowl and the start of the AFL season. So the timing was absolutely perfect from my work schedule point of view. And it laid me low for a few days. It was just at the start of the Pakistan Test series, so I watched every ball of the first test. So my timing was, I had two screens going, preseason footy, cricket, endlessly locked in the bedroom because the rest were trying to avoid me in our house. So solitude. I don't mind a little bit of solitude from time to time.
That's an interesting revelation there. some quiet time, Jared, by himself. But as long as you've got the remote. It's all good. Now, James Magnuson, again, for people who missed it. So Jack Nicklaus has knocked back $144 million from the Saudis to be the face of and be the spokesperson for the goal. James, you don't resolve from what you said earlier today. You would do anything for $144?
Yeah, literally anything. $144 million, nothing is off limits.
Jared, we want an honesty session because I'm going to say I would do anything for $144 million. What about you?
But you have to come at it from the Nicklaus point of view, don't you? So you're starting with more than $144 million.
Yeah.
So for us, $144 million is more money than we are ever going to see in our entire lives. So it's not really a fair comparison. Look, I think the brand damage and the risk of becoming a public pariah by being involved in this would warn me off to a substantial degree, and particularly for Nicklaus, who is one of the most loved and cherished figures in the history of American sport, let alone golf. I just look at what this is doing to Greg Norman and his place in our affections has plummeted over recent weeks and months. And I think back to what Greg Norman was when I was growing up, and the Akubra hats and the monikered shirts, and the joy of watching him play. Is I'm like most, as he makes my skin crawl now. So if I'm Jack Nicklaus, I'm not going anywhere near it.
I've just done a quick little Google on Jack Nicklaus. So it says his net worth is $400 million. So you're essentially saying, would you do it for a quarter of your net worth? It probably changes things slightly, but I'm still in.
I'm out for a quarter.
Yeah, Google Voss's net wealth, and it's only got four figures in it. Not going great. So 144. Hey, Saudis, you'll get me for 10. Now, this is something we discussed on your program yesterday, Jared. We've got the A-League. Hello, world. The A-League semi-finals began last night. Like, seriously, we will not get anything on them. Now, that may be, some will say, oh, well, there's no Sydney teams involved. But can you tell me, is Melbourne abuzz with the fact that you have three Victorian teams in the final four? Is the A-League taken a dive this year in the popularity stakes and interest stakes?
It's taken a huge dive, Vossi, and this is the best week to measure it, I think. Is if I was to go back 5 or 6 years, maybe 6 or 7 years with the A-League, and if Melbourne had three of the last four teams in contention with three of the semi-final games and the prospect of an all-Melbourne grand final, it would have a significant place in the sporting conversation. It would be generating a whole lot of buzz, and people would want to be associated with it. That's sort of how Melbourne works. A crowd draws a crowd. But these games are near on invisible, and that tells you through a whole set of decisions that have been made. The fact that there really isn't a poster boy anymore for the A-League, and its television deal, whilst generating the money that the league needed, has diminished its audience substantially across the year. This is a fringe competition, unfortunately, now. And so the back page of today's Herald Sun does have the image of the winner last night for Melbourne Victory. So that's a step. And I do think through Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, with the potential of an all-Melbourne grand final the following weekend, it does have a chance to grow a bit of interest and vibe and still make that grand final a significant event. But no, this is the demonstration of just how far it has receded from the consciousness.